All right, now that you've found Psalm 119, it's basically kind of in the middle of your Bible. It should be pretty easy to find. Let's talk for just a minute. A couple of things that I've been thinking about here for our church. I told you guys, maybe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I mentioned something about, I feel like God wants us in a place of discipleship. I feel like there's got to be more than just attending church on a Sunday morning. There's got to be more than just having fellowship outside of church. Both of those things are good. Sunday morning is good. Fellowship outside of church is good. But neither one of those things by themselves have anything to do with what God's really called us to do. The book of Acts chapter 2 talks about the first church, and it says that the first church, they did a couple of things. They devoted themselves to the scriptures. They did fellowship with each other. They prayed with each other. They attended temple together. They were Jewish back in those days, and so they attended temple together. So they did some of the stuff that we're doing nowadays, but it also called them disciples, that there was this growth that was happening in them, not just numerically, but spiritually, there was growth happening. And I don't know about you, but for me, I prefer to be growing. If something's not growing, then it's what? It's dying. And I don't want to be a dead, withered up, old, no good Christian. I want to be somebody that God can use, and I want to be growing. I told you a couple of weeks ago that my wife now can grow plants, but there was a time when she couldn't grow anything, and I wasn't going to help her because I don't care, right? But she would buy these plants for the house, and she would have them out there, and I mean, she could kill a cactus. It was amazing. A cactus has survived for thousands of years in a desert with no rain, but you bring a cactus into our house and it would wither up and just crumble and turn to ash. Am I lying, babe? No. But now she can kind of, she's kept one plant alive for how long? That plant that's for 4 years. We've had a plant on our bathtub of all places. We don't use the bathtub, but that thing just stays alive right there. I don't know how that works. So she's done a great job. But one of the things I think that happens to us a lot of times is whenever we're just left on our own and we're not growing, we're not being fed, we're not having somebody water us, we're not having these things happen, then we're like those plants that just tend to wither up and die. And I want a church that is full of disciples, or full of people that aren't disciples, but are moving that direction. That should be all of our goal. Amen? If you're new here today, Christians randomly say amen for no apparent reason, except for agreement. Amen. There it is. So feel free, if at any point you agree with something, you can just randomly say amen. It doesn't mean the end. That's how it is in prayer. But in the service, if you say amen, it just makes me go longer. It doesn't make me stop. So just a little help on you people that may not be Christians. One of the things that's important for us to understand as a disciple, something that we've got to have in our life, is we've got to have the Word of God in our life. Amen. There it is. You got to have the Word of God in your life. But here's the problem that we can face is that Satan had the Word of God in the book of Luke. Right? If you remember this story, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And when he goes to be tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says that Satan shows up to do the tempting. And when Satan shows up, he begins to quote scripture to Jesus. So just because you have the book doesn't mean the book has you. Just because you've got the book doesn't mean it's changing your life. This book on its own is just paper and words. It's just ink. It doesn't change anything about you, unless we learn to engage the Word of God. And that's a word I want to use a lot today, is the word engage, because I feel like it's important. Engage is another level of commitment. Whenever a couple gets engaged, they go from dating to being engaged. It's another level of commitment, right? And the same is true with God's Word. We need to shift from a place of just reading God's Word to a place where we are engaging, we are active with God's Word. And so today we're going to talk about what that means. As a matter of fact, some of these verses, I'm just going to hit some quick thoughts here. But Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says this. It says that God's Word is living and active. If something is alive and it's active, then it's something that needs to be engaged with. In other words, there's parts of the Bible that need to be speaking into me, and then there's aspects of the Bible I need to be grasping and doing. There's parts of the Bible that will transform me if I allow it to. But sometimes we can just get caught up in reading. And here at our church, we're big on Bible reading plans. I'm going to tell you all the time, you need a Bible reading plan. I feel like it's essential that you're reading your Bible on a consistent basis. I just think it's good for you. I personally think you need to read the Bible all the way through, cover to cover, whether you do it in a year or you do it in 2 years, it doesn't matter. But I think it's good for us to read the whole book so we can get the whole story of God. And then I think it's good, this is just some practical thoughts, I think it's good that you read it again cover to cover, right? Why? Have you ever watched a movie twice? Sure. When you watch it the second time, what do? You see things you didn't see the first time because you know the end now and you know where the director is going, where the writer was going. And so you're like, oh, I didn't notice that the first time I watched it, but now I see what's taking us to the next level. And the same is true with God's Word. We need to continue to read it so that we can grasp more of the heart of God for us, right? And understand what He's doing. And the Bible is living and active, so we want to engage in that. And the main way we engage with it, the Bible says that there's an intimate connection between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so we need to see that there's this intimate connection between God's Spirit, and we did a whole series on the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in you and through you and on you and all the things that the Holy Spirit is doing. And so we've got the Spirit of God, and then you've got the Word of God, and what we need to recognize is there's a connection between the two. And whenever we start to make that connection, then all of a sudden the Word of God becomes alive and active in my life. Peter said this. He said that it was the Spirit of God that carried the prophets along, that wrote the Bible. Peter was talking about the Old Testament, because at the time they didn't have the New Testament. And he's writing and he says, listen, when you read the Old Testament, when you read the old prophets, when you read guys like David and Jeremiah and Isaiah, he says it was the Spirit of God that carried them along. That word carried along is an ocean term, a sailing term. It has to do with the sails being full of wind. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that pushed them along and inspired everything that they wrote. Paul said it like this to the Ephesians. He said that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, oftentimes, whenever we read that, we think the sword of the Spirit, like it's a spiritual sword. But whenever I was studying for this and I began to read that scripture, here's what came to me. It was the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit's sword is the Word of God. The Spirit's sword, the tool that the Spirit uses, the weapon that the Spirit uses is the Word of God. There's an intimate connection between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And we don't worship the Word of God. I mean, I hear people complain about that all the time. They say, whenever you preach the Word the way you do, then are you worshiping the Word? No, we worship God, of course, but this is His Word. And I take it serious. We talk sometimes about love notes and love letters that people write to one another. And if my wife were to write me a love note, I don't look at that love note and say, this is my wife, right? Like, that's foolish. But as I read that love note, I begin to recognize her heart for me. And so it's important to understand the same is true with God's Word. We don't worship the book, but it is the Word of God, so we take it very serious. And then understanding that the Spirit and the Word work together to transform who we are. That's huge. Because I don't want to be the same guy I was when I walked in this room. I want to be transformed every Sunday. I want to be transformed every day when I read His Word. I want something happening. And it's not going to happen just with words on a page. It's going to happen when the Spirit and the Word come together and they begin to change who I am. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, I think it's like verse 63 or something. He says, my word is spirit and life. My word is spirit and life. In other words, when the Word and the Spirit are together, it brings life to those who consume it. So we've got to be engaged with God's Word. Here's a neat little thought I came across, and it says this. The Word without the Spirit seems dry. Have you ever thought about that? I know you have. You don't want to admit it in church. But there's a lot of us that have read God's Word and we're like, ugh. It's boring, especially when you're getting into some of those prophets and you're just like, I can't stand Jeremiah. He whines so much. He's got a whole book called Lamentations, which just means crying. Anybody that writes a book called crying, I don't want to read it. So God's word sometimes can seem very dry if you don't have the Spirit helping you along. And the flip side is this. The Spirit without God's word feels very untethered. It feels very untethered. Some of you have been in churches before where people said, oh, I'm just in the Spirit, or they're in the Spirit, and they were doing stuff that you just didn't feel like was based out of God's word. And it just felt very, not even unorthodox, it felt very out of order. Because sometimes what happens is people get caught up in what they think is the Spirit, but because they haven't tested it by the word, it's very untethered. It's not based in any kind of biblical reality. And so we've got to have both. We've got to have the Spirit and the Word, and they've got to be engaged together. They've got to be working together in our life. When I was a little bit younger, I used to go to the gym, and I still do go to the gym. It doesn't look like it, but I do, and I usually just go and sit there. But I went to the gym, and I didn't know what to do, and so what I would do is I would just look up some kind of workout plan on the internet. Or I would go to Walmart and I would go to the magazine section and I would find any kind of men's health, muscle and fitness, whatever magazine that showed workout plans. And I would open it up and I'd say, I'm going to do that one today. And I would go in, I would do a workout, and I wouldn't know what half the movements were. And so I was just kind of making it up as I went along. And I never really saw any results because I had the word, but I didn't know what to do with it. I had the plan. I just didn't know how to interact with that plan and make it work. And then I ended up, I've told you this before, about having surgery on my heart. And when I had surgery on my heart, I ended up losing about 20 to 25 pounds that I didn't really have to lose. And so I lost all this weight, and I was so weak, I couldn't do a pull-up, I could barely do a push-up. And so I went back to the gym, and when I went back to the gym this time, I had a friend of mine, and he was a personal trainer, and he saw the state I was in physically, and he said, Gabriel, I'm going to train you for free. If you'll show up at this time every day, I'll be here, I'll have a plan, and I'll train you, and I'll get you back to where you need to be. And so I showed up every day, and then all of a sudden I had a plan, but I also had a person that was helping me, and those two things came together, and he was able to get me back up to where I should have been to start with. It's important that to see progress in your spiritual life, you've got to have the plan, and you've got to have the person of the Holy Spirit working together if you want to see some progress and some production out of God's Word. And it's important to see that these two things work together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, it says this, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. In other words, we receive God's Spirit. Why? So that we can know more about God. We can know the things that He's given us, the things that are written in His Word. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual, in that word there, when it says aren't spiritual, in the Greek, it actually means people who don't have the Spirit. It doesn't mean people who aren't like spiritually minded. It means people who don't have the Spirit can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolishness to them, and they can't understand it. For those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So what Paul's saying here to the Corinthian church is he's saying, listen, there's a lot of spiritual truths here. And to most people that don't have the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit isn't engaged with His Word in your life, it just sounds like foolishness. It just sounds like gibberish. It's just a bunch of words on a page. But when you have the Spirit, now all of a sudden it becomes truth that's established in your life. And that's what everybody's looking for, is truth. What's the truth? What's your truth and my truth and the truth? What can I build my life on? We build our life on this, but only when we are engaged with the Spirit and the Word. And so we're going to go to Psalm 119 because Psalm 119 is an interesting book. This is a place full of engagements. It's full of places where we can engage with God's Word. And I want to show you today a couple of things about that. But first, let me give you this one little nugget of, I don't know, trivia maybe. But if you read through Psalm 119, so for example, before we get into anything on the screen, Tim, I'll just read some of this. Joyful are people of integrity. This is verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws. Right? In verse 3, they do not compromise with evil. They walk only in His paths. Verse 4, you have charged to keep your commandments. So in other words, there are 8 different words or terms that Psalm 119 uses for God's Word. It uses the word precepts and statutes and paths and word and law and commandments. It uses all of these terms. And every single verse in this chapter has one of those 8 terms in it. That's what makes it an interesting chapter. If you read this chapter, if you read other stuff that's written in the book of Psalms, the psalmist may be talking about, oh, this guy attacked me, and God, you rescued me, and he's saying good stuff, but it's almost like a story. This one, there's no story to it whatsoever. Every single verse, 176 verses or whatever it is, every single one is about God's Word. And that's where it's very interesting to me. And that's where we can find these points of engagement when it comes to God's Word. And so let's look at it today. And what I want to do is I'm only going to take you through, I don't know, like 4 places, 4 different engagements throughout the chapter of 119. Next week, we'll do a few more. But honestly, there's tons more. We could preach chapter 119 for a month or 2 months if we wanted to. We're not going to, but we could. It's just so big. So let's give you a couple of things today that when the Spirit and the Word work together. How many of you ever seen somebody? I wanted to do this today, but I knew I would make a mess. Maybe next week. Maybe we'll get a swimming pool up here. But have you ever seen the people on the internet and they do the Coke and Mentos? I love it. I love it. Every time it makes me laugh and I know what's going to happen, but I still love it every single time. And my favorite ones are the idiot people that try to put the Mentos in the Coke bottle and then drink it. I love it because it goes up their mouth, out their nose, through their ears. It shoots on the ceiling. It's amazing, right? It's amazing because there's this reaction that happens when you get the Mentos and the Coke together. I wonder if the same thing happens if you swallow a Mento and drink Coke. Maybe we'll try that next week. We'll see what happens. I'll let one of you try it, video it, and send it to me, and then we'll show it up here. I love it when the kids agree with me. So what we want to look at is what happens when the Spirit and the Word come together. So I'm going to show you a little bit of 119, and then we're going to dip over into the New Testament and see what the Spirit is doing, the same thing. The first thing that we notice that the Spirit and the Word, when they work together, they want to give us life, right? They're going to give us life, and so because that's what Jesus said. And so what does that life look like? Well, first of all, that life looks like joy and hope. Joy and hope. I don't know what you've been going through this week. I don't know what's happening in your life when you walk through those doors today. But I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty sure without any kind of prophetic word from God, I'm pretty sure most of us could say we could use a little bit of joy and a little bit of hope in our life. Most of us could say, yeah, I've had some bad stuff happen. Yeah, I've seen some things that kind of discouraged me. And if I could have some hope, if I could have some joy in my life, that would really help me. That would really bring some life back to my body. And so joy and hope. Psalm 119 verses 111 and 114, it says, your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. It's another word for joy. In other words, I delight myself. When I read your laws, when I read your word, it brings life and joy to me. Verse 114 says, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Your word is my source of hope. Whenever I read God's word, when I'm reading God's word in the morning and I'm praying, I'm asking God, God, speak to me today through your word. Even through the hard parts, even through the stuff I don't understand, I just need you to speak to me today. One of the things, I'm in the Old Testament right now. I've been through Isaiah and now I'm in Jeremiah. And those are tough books to read because God is laying down judgment and punishment for Israel. They've sinned so much and they will not repent. And one of the cool things that I've noticed about God is God will spend a chapter or two talking about how bad they've been and how they're going to send, he's going to send the Assyrians and then he's going to send the Babylonians and he's going to take them into captivity and their life is going to be tough. And then the next thing that God does, he says, but there's going to come a point I'm going to bring you back. There's going to come a point I'm going to restore you because you're going to turn back to me. And when you do, he starts giving them hope. And sometimes we may be going through a tough time. We may be going through a difficult process. And sometimes it's really good just to get into God's word. And whenever I read those chapters that are sometimes hard to read, I begin to read hope in those chapters. And hope begins to jump off the page. And hope begins to enter my heart because there are situations where I feel hopeless sometimes. There are times when I feel hopeless and I need God's word and his spirit to work together to bring me some hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul says this, he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? He works with his word to give us joy and hope. The second thing that life looks like in us is that life looks like strength and revival. Strength and revival. And I don't mean revival like we're pitching a tent outside and we're throwing sawdust on the ground. And, well, obviously nobody knows what that is. But there's like two people looked up and were like, everybody else was going, what the heck? Pinching a tit outside. So strength and revival. Revival just means to revive somebody. Somebody that feels like they're dying. How many of you have ever felt like you were dying before? Well, maybe you haven't, but sometimes you have. Like spiritually, you feel like you're dying. You feel dried up and you just need, you feel like one of the plants at my house, right? And you just need somebody, just somebody to take a minute to care for you, right? Those poor plants. They're all dead now. They don't know. Verse 50 says this, your promise, another word for the word, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my trouble. Verse 28 says this, I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Isn't that cool how God does that? God gives us strength. He revives us with his word. And what does he do? He comes in and encourages us or strengthens us by his word. In Romans 8:11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. There's a spirit inside of you, and that spirit comes together with the word. He brings life to your mortal body. When you feel like you're dying, and you're depressed, and you're discouraged, and you're down, and you're out, I'm thankful that I've got the word and the spirit. They come together, and they revive me, and they strengthen me. The third one is this. The third one is comfort in trouble. Man, that's a good one. We all need comfort when we're in trouble. Psalm 119:52 says, I meditate on your age-old regulations, O Lord. They comfort me. Verse 92 says, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. Man, those are good things. I love those verses that talk about the comfort of God even in my trouble. Even in my trouble, that I can go through his word and he comforts me. When you look back at the men and women of old, the people in the Old Testament and all the stuff that they were going through, when you look into the New Testament and you see all the stuff those guys were going through, Paul says he gives a list of things that he went through, talking about how many times he'd been shipwrecked and how many times he had been beaten and how many times he had been left for dead. And he got stoned one time, and I'm not talking about smoking pot. He got stones thrown at him and they thought he was dead, and Paul was beat up. Peter was hung upside down. Like we get all of these things that happened to these fellas. They were beaten and tortured. And they needed some kind of comfort in that trouble. And where did they get that comfort? They got that comfort from God's word. John 14:16-17 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Another version says helper. Another version says comforter, that I will give you a comforter who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. And the last one is this. Life, when the Holy Spirit and the Word come together, that life looks like an anchor in the storm. I remember going out to the ocean one time, and I was snorkeling, and the idea was to go look at some coral. I wanted to go see the coral reef. So I'm snorkeling, you know, swimming out there, and I'm trying to look at the coral reef, and every time I would stick my head under, waves were moving, and so you'd stick your head under, and you're trying to look at it, and all of a sudden, you're 10 feet away. So you swim back, and you look at it, and then you're 10 feet away. Like, you just kept getting moved by the ocean. And so finally, even though they told me I wasn't allowed to touch the coral, there was no ranger out there. And so I just reached down and found the most dead-looking piece of coral I could find and grabbed it, right? I needed an anchor to stop being moved by the waves. And so I anchored myself to the coral so I could see and look at the life and look at the plants and look at the animals. It was so cool to be able to do. And sometimes when we're going through a storm, we need some kind of anchor that's going to keep us through that storm. Otherwise, emotionally and mentally, we're going to be all over the place. We allow our feelings and we allow our circumstances to move us all over the place, and we need some kind of anchor in the storm. Listen, I go through storms just like everybody else. Just because I'm on stage doesn't make me any kind of special. Matter of fact, maybe I'm worse than most. I don't know. But I've got to have an anchor. I've got to have something that's true. I've got to have something I can hold on to. Because when I'm going through storms, I've got to be able to have something I can tie myself to so that I'm not moved around by every wind and every wave. And that anchor is God's word, and the Spirit does that for me. Psalm 119:89 says, "Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven." Your eternal word stands firm in heaven. And this world's going to tell you all kinds of stuff that's true. That's true. But one thing that never changes is God's word. Verse 151 says, "I've known from my earliest days that all your laws will last forever." Can I just put a little thought in your head for those of you that work in kids ministry, whether that's nursery or preschool or our big kids ministry, or maybe those of you that are thinking about working in kids ministry, but you think it's not real ministry because it's just babysitting and it's just changing diapers. Can I just let you see what this says? It says, "I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever." How will we know from our earliest days that His law will last forever if there's not somebody teaching us that law? How will the babies know? Yeah, but Gabriel, they're just babies. They don't know anything. All they know is eat, sleep, and fill that diaper up. That's the only three things they know. Can I tell you something? Even a baby's got a spirit. And as you're back there rocking that baby, you can begin to speak the word of God over that kid. I went back there today. They've redecorated the nurseries, and all kinds of stuff happens. When I go home from church, people come up here and do stuff, and I come back as a different place. And I went back there today, and I'm just looking at scriptures on the wall. And I'm thinking, these kids can't even read those scriptures. But they're every Sunday when they come to church, says some kids don't have that at home. Let's be honest. There's some parents. Some of you guys are bringing other people's kids with you, and they're not getting the word at home. But when they get here, somebody is going to speak God's word over them from their earliest days. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Verse 160 says, "The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever." Everybody's looking for truth today. And 119:60 says, "The very essence of His words is truth." Matthew 7, 24 and 25, Jesus said this. He said, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock." What's your life built on? What are you anchored to? If you're not anchored to this, if you don't have the Holy Spirit engaged with the Word in your life, then the next time a storm comes, you might crumble. You might fall. But I'm anchored to this. Let me end the day with this thought. The Spirit uses the Word to lead us to Jesus. If you're taking notes, I know we turned the lights down a little bit, so it's hard to read or write. But the Spirit uses the Word to lead us to Jesus. You know, one of the things I'm always trying to figure out when I read the Bible is I'm always trying to find the heart of God. And I feel like if I can just find His heart, I don't have to have a specific message for my future. Like, I don't have to know, God, what do you want me to do in this specific situation? Show me in your Word. Maybe He will. But if I can just know His heart, if I just know His heart, then I'll understand that He's going to take care of me no matter what situation it is. And so I'm always trying to find His heart. And here's a couple of scriptures that I think are interesting. One is 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul's talking to Timothy. He's a young pastor. And he says, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Again, another plug for working back in the back. Someone's got to teach them. Listen. I'm going to get back off the message for a second. Our goal here is to have a bunch of Timothys. I really felt like it was God speaking to me this week to push me and drive me towards developing some goals for us as a pastor, for our pastoral staff, and for the church as a whole. I really felt like God was telling me, hey, there's got to be some kind of goal you got to shoot for. It's not just people showing up on Sunday. Like, there's got to be something beyond that. And the end run that I came up with, like, of all the goals and all the things I want to see us do, the end run was the goal of sending people out. And what Paul did is Paul had this ministry where he would travel around and start churches and drop guys off. He didn't hoard ministers. He didn't hoard talent. He left people behind all the time. He sent people out all the time. And Timothy was one of those guys. And Paul's saying here is, Timothy, you are one that was sent out. You are one that was left in this town to pastor these people. And you learn from a child the Holy Scriptures. So your whole life has led up to this point. And I want you to know, my goal for our church today is not just to have a bunch of people show up on Sunday mornings. My goal is to have a bunch of Timothys. My goal is to see us send some folks out. I would love to see people go on mission trips, but I would really love some people to be missionaries. I would love for us to support other churches, but I would really love for us to send out a pastor. Like, I would love for us to raise up Timothys. And maybe not everybody's going to be in the ministry full time and have that as their job. But I would love for us to raise up Timothys that say, I'm going to preach the gospel in the workplace. I'm going to go to my job and I'm going to transform it for Jesus Christ. But it all starts by somebody teaching the Word at a young age. All right, let's get back to the message. It says, you've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus. I love that. He says, it's the Scripture that gave you the wisdom to do what? To receive Christ. You read the Word. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, gives you wisdom to do what? To receive Christ. Jesus said this in John 5, 39 and 40. He said, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. What Jesus was facing was a bunch of people that read the Word, they memorized the Word, they studied the Word. All good things, we should all do those things. But what they thought was, if I can just get through a certain number of Bible reading plans, that's going to get me into heaven. They thought, if I can just read enough and memorize enough and know enough, that's going to be what leads to eternal life. And Jesus says, listen, you should be studying. You should be memorizing. You should be reading. But you should do it to do what? To find me. Because the Scriptures all point to Jesus. When we go from merely reading to engaging in God's Word, that's when we find Christ. That's when we find Jesus. I don't know how many of you guys are born again. I don't know how many of you guys have given your heart to Jesus Christ. But I do know this. If you'll learn to engage with His Word. How many times have I heard the story over and over again of an atheist that decided to prove God wrong, and he's going to read God's word, and I'm going to study God's word, and I'm going to prove it, it's all fake. And they end up finding Christ. Because God's word is alive and active. So here's what we need to do. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word, to reveal the heart of God, to comfort us and strengthen us and give us joy, to anchor us in the storm. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? I'm going to pray over you while our team comes down to the front. So why don't you just close your eyes for just a second? Nothing special, but I just want you to block out the people sitting next to you for just a minute. I want you to focus on what God's trying to do in your life this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room. Your word says for us to call out to you and ask you to search us, to search our hearts, search our minds. And so today, that's what we do. We just say, search us, oh God. Search us, Holy Spirit. We just ask today that you would move in us today and begin to dig around, begin to see what's going on in our life. And God, today there may be some of us that are struggling. We may be struggling because we need comfort today. We're hurt and we're broken. There may be some of us that feel like we're dying on the inside, and we need the strength and the revival that you can bring through your word. For some of us, God, we need an anchor in this storm because we're going through a battle today, and the waves keep hitting us and the wind keeps blowing us around, and we need an anchor in the storm. And we can find that by engaging with your word and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us and through us. So for those that are struggling today, I pray that they would, that today or tomorrow, whenever they read your word, God, I pray that we would open up our hearts and our lives to the Spirit of God to flow through it and to minister to us, to change us, to transform us, to strengthen us, to comfort us. And God, I pray for those that may not know you today, those that maybe they know church or maybe they know the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. They don't live for him. And God, maybe they're watching online today and they've never really, truly met you. They've just been around you. They've seen you in the crowd. But today, your Spirit is drawing them to a place of submission. Today, your Spirit is drawing them to a place of sacrifice. Today, your Spirit is drawing them to a place of worship to be able to give their whole hearts to you, to be born again, to discard an old life, and to be renewed and changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, for those people today, I pray that they would call out to you. I pray that they would seek you and they would find you. Your word says if we seek you with all of our hearts, that we will find you. You won't hide from us. And just like the boy that was stuck in the mud in the pig pen and he had wasted everything, I thank you, Father God, that you're like the father that welcomes that boy back to the house. And so, God, for those of us today that are seeking you, I pray that we would find you. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing one more song. As we sing that song, we've got a prayer team down on the front. We will have a prayer team down. Come on, guys, come on down. We got a prayer team down front, and they want to pray with you about whatever it is that you got going on in your life. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. Maybe you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ, and today you just want to confess that to somebody. You want to just tell somebody. The Bible says that we confess with our mouth, right? Like there's a part of salvation and being born again where you tell somebody. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need comfort and peace today. Maybe you need an anchor. You're going through a storm. Whatever it is, we want to pray with you this morning as we sing this last song.